Welcome to Subtle Beast, everybody. I am your host, Foltz, sitting here with none the other than Mr. Steve Apostolopoulos. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for my introduction. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. I can't complain whatsoever. I'm ready to put out a great podcast tonight. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling relaxed. And I'm really, really excited about tonight.
I'm excited about this weekend. Did you happen to catch the weather report?
It's going to be in the 50s, right?
I think it's going to be up around 60 degrees on Saturday.
Wow. Here we go again. So today, bitter cold.
It was a cold one out there.
And now they're going to, well, no they. The weather's just going to turn warm again. And man, this is what's bringing in all this illness. I can't take it.
The doctor's offices have got to be filled up.
Oh, I know when I was in there, the doc, I said, so, how many people have you seen? And he just gave me like a look out of the side of his eye. I was like, that many, huh? He was like, it's unstoppable.
This is like a waiting list to see the doctor.
Yeah, pretty much. It's just nuts.
It's got to be good for all the companies out there like NyQuil or anybody that sells it.
Oh,
medicine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're probably all getting bonuses this year for sure.
They're like, we made our 2017 numbers.
Yeah, but I mean, I welcome it because I can get outside and enjoy it and go on some walks and I don't have to bundle up, and that's just key for me.
Yeah, this weekend's going to be cool. This past week, though, it was a cold one. It's February.
No doubt, no doubt. So what have you done with yourself this last week? Anything fun?
Fun stuff. I hung out with the family over the weekend,
right.
And I canceled Hulu.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Big
but
time.
But don't worry, I reconnected with Netflix.
Oh, okay. So any big differences between the two?
There's a different lineup, and it's a kind of a different, like Hulu has major network shows the day after they air.
Okay.
Which is big, but it's just a different setup than Netflix. Netflix has a bunch of original programming and a bunch of movies.
Okay, so Hulu doesn't do like movies or...
They do. They just do it in a different scale. I think Netflix has a little bit bigger... they're just kind of different setups.
Okay. I have neither. And one other thing that I don't have is Amazon Prime. But I hear that that's a good one as well.
It is. Those are probably the three largest streaming apps for like TV shows and movies.
Okay. I used Amazon Prime one time. There was a series on last year, and now to find out that they're doing another one, as I'm excited to see, was a series called The Man in the High Castle. I don't know if you saw
right,
that.
Right, that's an original Amazon programming.
Right, so I wanted to see it, and at first I didn't realize that it was exclusive to Amazon Prime, and so I couldn't find it. And then searching on the internet, I saw that it was, and I know that a buddy of mine that I was hanging out with mentioned it, so I gave him a call, and he gave me his Amazon Prime sign-in, so I was able to go in there and watch it, and yeah, it was pretty impressive, the type of content they had out there. I liked it.
I was excited when I got into Netflix because they have some blockbuster-type movies that they are like their marquee movies that they change out, but when you leave it and then come back to it, it's like seeing it for the first time. And the big one was Captain America: Civil War.
Oh, okay. So you're a big comic book movie guy?
I do like the comic book movies. Spider-Man, Superman is huge for me. I love Superman. Wolverine.
Okay.
So, the Avengers. I know my wife is a big Iron Man fan.
Okay,
and
yeah.
And I think that's just because it's Robert Downey Jr.
Well, of course.
She literally calls him Iron Man no matter what show it is.
There's Iron Man. Yeah, I mean, I've never been a huge comic book movie guy. Now, I have seen, like, the Spider-Mans with Tobey Maguire.
Right, the big ones.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. I know I saw the first Iron Man. I don't know if I saw anything after that. I was never big into like the Wolverine movies
they call him Wolverine.
Yeah, Wolverine. But then isn't he in ones with other groups of people?
Yes. Yep. He's in the one with Oh boy, it's the guy in the wheelchair.
Right, the bald guy.
Right. Yeah. So they have they're not the Avengers. So I'm sure there's a bunch of comic book geeks out there that are like, dude, it's DC.
That's hilarious that you said that, because as soon as you were done, I was going to say the same thing. Like, who are these guys? You don't know the title of this. I'm sorry. I'm more of a, I don't want to insult him by saying action movies, because I know they're action, but I like war movies and sci-fi movies and things.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit, Leonardo DiCaprio movies.
Right, yeah, yeah.
They're fantastic.
And I had Netflix. And when I did have Netflix, one thing I liked about it, now this is going back years, was the fact that they had a lot of movies loaded on there, and they would also bring out the new movies, but they wouldn't get rid of the old movies. So you could like save them. And then over the course of time that changed, and you couldn't save like the certain movies anymore, and they were bringing them in and out. And
right now, now everything is streaming up. I guess, I don't know if you could download a movie if you were getting on a plane to watch it or not.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't.
So then what the other big marquee movie was Alice Through the Looking Glass.
Oh, okay. I have not seen that yet, and I would love to. I'm a huge Lewis Carroll fan and love his work, but I haven't seen that.
So the first time we saw that one was in the drive-in theaters over the summer.
Oh, love
and
it.
It seemed like it wasn't a huge crowd pleaser, at least for my family. And it was the last movie of the night, and those things run till like 1:30 in the morning.
Right.
So I saw a lot of cars taking off kind of halfway through the movie. I think it lost a lot of people because it's a pretty deep one.
Okay.
But I loved it, and I just got Netflix this week, so I watched it again, and I loved it again.
That's awesome, because I just recently watched the movie Arrival, and I had the same type of experience. I was so excited after I watched it, because like I said, I'm a huge sci-fi guy, and I went out to the Facebook page looking for, you know, a rah-rah all my people, and the movie was just getting bashed, and I'm like, what are you guys talking about? This movie was excellent. So Alice Through the Looking Glass had the same experience for you.
Right, and I don't think that it got a bunch of critical acclaim, but for me, you know, you get a story that you like, and you like it. You can't control what you like.
Exactly. So, well, what was it about that movie that captured you, and to the fact that you're like, oh, I really like this movie, versus what do you think deterred others?
Right. Well, for me, it was the premise of Alice going back through time to save the Mad Hatter's family. I liked the illustration, the way that it was portrayed. I thought it was done real well. Father Time was Sacha Baron Cohen.
Oh, okay.
And he's always been a favorite of mine, so I liked the actors in it. I liked the premise of the plot, and I liked the way that the timing of it was perfect for me. It just, the whole thing flowed real well for me.
Fantastic. So, you know, being that I do enjoy my sci-fi movies, and time travel movies are probably at the top of the list for me. So and I know we've had these discussions in the past about time travel and time travel movies, did that one, you know, break it down pretty nicely and explain the intricacies and the what ifs of time travel?
Right. It did. And the way they did it was graphically, like they actually showed Father Time, and they showed the master clock of time, and they showed that the thing that made the master clock function was what Alice actually had to get to move through time.
Oh, okay.
So time ended up standing still for a moment, and the way it was graphically expressed, I think, was really cool for me.
That's awesome. And there's so many movies out there that cover the topic of time travel, and every director and writer has their own way of interpreting, because, you know, at this time in our lives, obviously, time travel is science fiction. But it's such an interesting topic that Steve and I were talking about earlier this week, on what type of a topic that we were going to cover for our podcast this week, and we both decided on talking about time travel. It's just one of those topics that is just so interesting, whether you're a believer or you're someone that thinks, oh, that could never possibly happen or be created. It's just one of those topics that's fun to discuss.
It's so fun that when we discussed it and you had shot me a couple of leads, a couple of guys that you had researched and thought highly of, when I looked into them, I became engulfed in what they had to say. So I was very interested in your research on it. It opened my eyes up to more of a scientific basis. Up until now, it's been sci-fi for me. And I think everyone's, you know, seen the Star Trek and seen a lot of sci-fi. And yeah, everybody kind of has an idea of what it is that's going on when somebody travels through time. But to see it broken down by such high-level physicists and people with actual merit, it really opened my eyes to the subject.
Right. It's a very complex discussion to have with somebody. My fascination with time travel started back a long time ago with Superman with Reeves. And I'm sure everyone's familiar with the famous scene where Lois Lane gets killed and he's just enraged and he flies out in outer space and starts flying around the planet super, super fast and rotating it the opposite direction to ultimately turn back time. Now, as a small child, that really fascinated me. And I turned to my dad and I asked him, do you think that that's possible? And his theory was, from the research that he had done, because he was fascinated with the topic too, was that if you could get the Earth to rotate in the opposite direction, that in fact you could have time travel. But there are a lot, like Steve said, intellectuals that are really having this discussion now and really believe that in some time that we may have a time machine. And it's really intricate, and they really break it down. I mean, they start with Albert Einstein and some of his theories, and they progress from there.
Right, and in this day and age, you look at a company like SpaceX, you look at the privatization of space travel, and I think that there has to be a correlation made between time travel and space travel.
Absolutely. If we go back, even 10 years, 20 years, 30 years prior to the date now, talking about going to Mars was science fiction. But in fact, I believe they have a date of like 2020 now, where they believe that they're going to have the aircraft and they're going to Mars. So if there's anybody out there saying, oh, well, time travel's just, it's a creative idea for movies, it can grasp, the entertainment value is wonderful, but it's never going to happen. Well, if you listen to some of the people that are putting money into actually studying this now, it's really pretty fascinating. There's a man that teaches quantum physics at the University of Connecticut, Dr. Ronald Mallett, and
His story is very interesting.
It is. I'll let you talk about him for a little bit.
Well, basically, his fascination with time travel came from losing his father at a young age. So when he was a boy, his father had a heart attack, and he really didn't get to know his dad. So his motivation to look into time travel on a very high level came from that. And It's a fascinating motivation. You know, you get a boy that just wants to spend time with his dad, and there's really no end to what that boy would do. He spent his life up until now researching what it would take through physics to actually travel back in time.
Right. And as a boy, this whole idea of time traveling and going back to being able to see his father again just totally consumed him. And he was shopping at a thrift shop one day, and he came across a book by Einstein and talking about one of Einstein's relativities, and he read the book, and he began to believe with being able to see it in his head and know that somebody as great as Einstein making these claims about, if you want to time travel, you have to reduce mass and you have to be able to travel at the speed of light. He became consumed with it, and he decided that he needed to get into more scientific realms and fields. So he decided to study and major in science and physics in college. And lo and behold, became a professor of that at the University of Connecticut. And he kept pretty quiet about it for a while because, you know, if you're sitting among your colleagues and you're having a serious discussion about physics and quantum physics, you don't want to drop the word time travel because you might be looked at as somebody that not be taken very seriously.
Right. They would mock you.
They would mock you, and there'd be snickering behind your back, and it'd be like, hey, get a load of Mr. Back to the Future over here. But what has happened is he has put out some astounding papers and studies, and he truly believes that he's on the forefront of actually cracking these mathematics.
Right. And the face of this entire this idea has changed, and one of the reasons why it's changed is because of Mr. Elon Musk.
Yes.
If you look at the company Tesla, Elon Musk, who is a billionaire and who is also fascinated with space travel, has a large amount of means to put behind research into the science that it would take. So Nikola Tesla is one of the founders of many theories behind portals and time fabric, space fabric, ideas that light and space are somehow intertwined together. So if you get someone with that type of means and then you match them up with a guy like Ronald Mallett, who has the intelligence to put the math behind it, you start to get somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Tesla, the company Tesla, with Musk, I mean, one of his creations is going to be actually the spaceship for, I don't want to say rocket, because they can't use a rocket to get to Mars, because it's so long of a trip that just using typical fuel wouldn't be enough to get them there. But his company is the one designing the ship that is actually going to take these astronauts to Mars in 2020. So with a man of this brilliance to be able to build such a complex piece of machinery, getting together with Dr. Mallett and them having some type of symbiotic relationship with, like Steve said, the mathematics that he has, it's really something that that I enjoy looking into, because Mallett has a lot to say about, you know, people don't believe that you can get mass to travel at the speed of light. Well, Mallett believes that you can, and he has the mathematics to back it up. But another one of what Einstein was saying with, if you wanted to time travel, not only do you have to be able to travel at the speed of light, but you also have to have a relationship with gravity.
Right. So what the theory is that an object and any mass can have gravity, but also in this theory, light can also have gravity as well.
Right.
And that's the basis of where it's going. And one of the things that I think is cool is that there's a transfer between privatization and government. Government has up until now run the space program. And we had NASA, the Russians, the Chinese, every major,
the space race
country has had they've thrown their hat in the ring. But now that we've gone from government funded to privatization, there are no boundaries. There is no more government suppression. There is no more area
51.
Area 51. I was going to say Studio 54.
People will be like, yeah, there is.
So all of these things that are now occurring, they're not going to be suppressed. It's going to be shared. And that is one of Nikola Tesla's founding principles, was that his research and his inventions be shared with the people.
Right. So you have Musk working with Tesla. Now you have Einstein's theories, and you have Dr. Mallet being able to prove the mathematics and quantum physics behind it without trying to blow anybody's mind through all the things that have been said in speeches and different work groups. One of the, just to break it down in simpler terms, there's a lot of fun things that Mallet says are possible with time travel and things that aren't possible with time travel, which are his theories. Now, one of his theories is, once he has mastered the time machine, he says that you need to have constant motion, and you have to be able to accelerate particles extremely quickly. I don't know what the exact numbers are. But he also says, from the time that you hit the switch on the time machine, and there's all this movement going on between light and matter and gravity, that if that creates a time machine and you step through it, that you wouldn't be able to really go back any further than the date that you turned this machine on. So basically, if you built this machine, if you want to go back in time, the best thing's going to be to, I don't know, leave it running for 10, 20 years before you jump into this thing to visit any type of recent history.
Right. So basically, Mallet's saying that if you can create a loop in time, and
correct,
any time after you create that loop, you can come back to the beginning of the loop, but you can't go back past the point where the machine was created. So you have a machine that you make and you turn it on, and then from that point, you can create a portal which would take you back to the beginning of that loop.
Right. So let's say that he mastered the time machine today. He turns it on, and let's say that a baby that was born this year in January, and we'll fast forward maybe 30 years, and let's say that this baby grows up to be an evil mastermind, and he's killed people, he's done horrible things, he's made inventions himself that hasn't helped humanity but has actually hurt it. And somebody says, why don't we use the Mallet time machine, go back in time to before this baby was born, kill his father or prevent his mother and father from meeting so that he's never born and these awful things are ever done or created. And that's what's called the grandfather paradox. And Mallet has some very interesting theories on the grandfather paradox about whether or not you can actually go back and prevent his birth because of these different time loops. He's saying that it's possible that when you go back in time and you're traveling at the speed of light, that when you get to your destination in the past, you might not necessarily be in this reality.
Right. You could go back and be in an alternate universe.
Right. And there are people backing up Mallet on many documentaries that I have watched. And what they are saying is, not only is his math correct, but from what we've been studying on our end, is that the reality that we live in is just one of infinite realities. So if you're going to go back in time, their theory is, you go back in time, you're going to end up in a different alternate reality. So let's say you get to this point in time, you find these two people that had this baby that grows up to be a madman, and you kill him, your mission successful, you get in the time machine, you come back to your present, you go to the internet. Did we solve this problem? No, he still exists.
Why? Because it didn't occur in our universe, in the universe that is relative to us.
Right. So basically, if you've ever heard of the grandfather paradox, I guess it exists if you were able to be able to time travel and stay within this, within our universe, and then travel back to the same universe, which these great minds are saying is not possible.
Right. And so that would be kind of the end. Well, those are the questions that everyone would like to be answered. But in order to get there, first we need to send one particle back in time.
Right.
And so to do that, you would need what Mallet says is like a vortex. And the way that he would open this is by shooting many lasers in a circular pattern. And the way he says it is kind of cool. He says it's like stirring a cup of coffee. And if you're stirring a cup of coffee, and the very top of the cup of coffee is just one plane. But as you begin to stir it and create that vortex, there is a funnel that goes down into the rest of the coffee. And he's saying that that is similar to the way time travel would occur. To send a particle back to like the middle of the cup, you could just create a vortex, drop the particle, and it would go down through what was the plane into the middle part of the coffee without touching any coffee at all, and get to that middle part of the coffee, which would be back in time.
Correct. And this is work that Einstein had actually worked on, and not only talking about time travel, but talking about being able to do interstellar travel. He's saying that there are wormholes out there that if you're trying to reach a distant planet that's 90 million light years away, well, no one's going to live that long, even if you're traveling at the speed of light. So if you can imagine trying to get to a far off point, using a wormhole would obviously be the greatest tool to you, because imagine a piece of paper, and if you're going to draw, you want to draw a line from one end of the piece of paper to the other, is that going to be the fastest route? Or if you take a piece of paper and you fold it in half and you stick your pen through it, that's obviously going to be the quickest way. Right. So,
and then unfold it, and you've traveled that entire distance, but just by going through the distance of two thin sheets of paper.
Exactly. So, I hope we're not blowing anybody's minds right now. I hope we're not confusing anybody. I mean,
And this isn't just us. I mean, there are huge, huge organizations like CERN.
Right. CERN is a company that it works with particle accelerators and getting particles to basically smash into each other. And they believe that by using these particle accelerators and getting these particles to slam into each other, that they're actually going to be able to open up parallel universes. Now, there's some people that think, oh, that's great science. There's also people that think that that's really bad science, because they're saying, well, if you're opening up these different parallels in different dimensions, what are you going to be bringing through?
Right. And that's, you know, there is an infinite number of debates. And like Dr. Mallet says, the debates will be answered the first time somebody does it.
Exactly.
And just like the first time somebody went to the moon, we figured out what the gravity was like.
Yep.
All the information that we had was verified once somebody did it.
Right. And there, I mean, there's so many different ways to look at time travel. I mean, it's always fun to watch movies like Back to the Future and, you know, any movie that deals with time travel.
Interstellar.
Interstellar, which is a great movie. I think that the man or woman, I believe it's a man, I believe the man that wrote that story did a fantastic job. And I believe that he was even using some of Einstein's theories, because the ship in Interstellar was traveling around a super mega black hole, and Einstein had said if one of the great ways to time travel would be if you can orbit a black hole, that slows down time for everybody that's in that ship, but time for everybody else is continuing on at a normal pace.
Right. And the reason why is because the black hole has mass at the center of it, which is so great. The mass is so great that it has such a strong gravity that the gravity even pulls in light.
Yep, light can't even escape from it.
So if light cannot escape from it, the orbit and the outer rims of the black hole bend the light, and that bending of the light is where the time and space kind of intermingle, and that's where you can kind of jump through space.
Exactly. Now, so, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So let's talk about somebody who may have actually done this.
That's exactly the gears that I was going to switch to. So we have Ronald Mallett, professor at University of Connecticut, who is talking about that he knows that he's got the mathematics, so he needs the tools to create a time machine and use what Tesla has said and the theories of Einstein. But now you can also look up, there's a man by the name of Andrew Bishago. Now Andrew, he runs a Facebook page that's really interesting. It's called Project Pegasus. Now, some of Andrew's claims are when he was a child in the 1970s, that his father introduced him to this government group. It was probably some black project, probably.
The name of the project was Project Pegasus, the Black Ops Project.
The Black Ops Project, yeah. It was probably the military-industrial complex. They had a program called Project Pegasus. And Andrew's claims were that he was sent back through time through some of the methods that they use. And he even claims that he was at the Gettysburg Address. And he actually shows a picture of the Gettysburg Address and actually makes claims that there is a small boy in the forefront. And he claims that that's him.
And I liked the way that Andrew approached this because it's kind of mind blowing, and they said, why would they pick children to do this? And Andrew said, because a child, they were having problems with adults because the adults would go insane. The adults have had too much life experience, and that a child is more of a blank canvas, and that the reason why they were using children was so that the children could grow up with the program and then become adults and kind of be more durable as adults, but also be introduced to these portal jumps and not have that problem of going insane because they can't fathom or tolerate it mentally.
Yeah, they want to use children because of their innocence.
Right.
Because children don't necessarily have been taught that you can't do this or that this isn't possible. So when they do something as extravagant as time travel, like Steve said, they're not going to go nuts by, oh my gosh, what is going on? I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe I'm there. And the whole fabric of their being is going to collapse because, you know, there's a lot of theories out there too that, spirits visit children too. If a relative passes, you may have your small child saying, oh, well, you know, well, Granny and Grampy came to visit me in my bedroom. But, yeah, I mean, you don't often hear adults saying that. And they say that the reason some spirits visit children is because they don't know that they shouldn't be seeing them. So that's why they recruited this for Project Pegasus.
And one of Andrew's things was that his father was one of the higher ups in this project, and they couldn't All of the information was suppressed. This is all classified information. So they could never write it down. And this was in a time before a thumb drive. They couldn't steal, you know, like Snowden. They couldn't get this information out in any way. And what Andrew said was his father was pruning him. That's not the right word. His father was
grooming him
so that he could eventually at some point bring this information to light. So his father was actually giving him a broad view of all of the different devices, of all of the different intricacies of the program, in hopes that Andrew would remember all of this and at some point be able to blow the whistle on this program, which he's done.
He has done. And as early as this past year, he actually had a campaign for running for president. Now, I know many people probably haven't heard of of Andrew, but he did have a campaign going because he wanted to get elected as president of the United States because he wanted to bring this technology to the forefront to be used for good. Now, there's he talks about 8 different methods of what they use to time travel. Not going to get into all of them because some of them can make you to start questioning your own sanity.
Right.
But there was one called the Montauk chair. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
That sounds cool. Just saying Montauk chair sounds cool to me. I like it. What is it?
Well, the Montauk chair, I don't know all the specifics, but I believe it was they were strapped into a certain device, and from what Andrew has said, that you're sitting in this chair and you start to experience like a lot of light and a lot of uncomfortability, and before you know it, you're at a point in the distant past. Now, he was asked at one point, well, where did this technology come from, which is a whole other topic that we will cover in another podcast, but he did mention that it was brought to us by extraterrestrials, which he claims to actually have met, that his father took him to an Air Force base one time, and he actually was able to meet some extraterrestrials that created the technology for this Montauk chair.
Right. So a lot of what Andrew's memories are go along with Nikola Tesla's theory of a portal. And the theory was based upon radiant energy, which is a massive amount of energy that is focused in on one small area. And it creates a tunnel. And at the end of the tunnel is a little tiny pinprick of light. And you travel through this tunnel until you reach that little tiny pinprick of light, which it develops into the end of the portal. So there doesn't need to be a Tesla portal on the other side. It only needs to be opened up on one side. And he said that you need to move through it at a pretty robust rate of speed. And that if you don't, there's a chance that whatever part of you doesn't transport could be cut off. And he says at one point that there was multiple children jumping through this portal, and that one of the boys didn't get the whole way through, and he transported into a pool of water, and he watched where the feet were supposed to be, when the boy dove through the portal, the feet did not make the jump. And he said he saw the boy laying in this pool with stumps where his feet were supposed to be.
Right. And that is also the same type of technology if you ever heard of the Philadelphia experiment. The Philadelphia experiment used the same types of technology as the Montauk chair and other devices that they used. There's a great movie out there simply called The Philadelphia Experiment. And what happened was when they were using this big reactor to channel all of this light and gravity and mass and getting it to collide with all different types of particles to go back in time, because what they wanted to do was just to make wanted to make their battleship invisible so that during World War II they could surprise the enemy or not show up on radar. But what happened was it started to shift back in time, and there were two gentlemen who made claims that they actually did go back in time about 30 years. That's a whole other story. But what happened when this battleship shifted from going back in time for a second and then popping back into our time, that all kinds of people were disfigured. People, bodies were part of the metal from the midsection up. They're just hanging out. There are some people whose just legs were hanging out. And I guess why these two guys that claim they went back in time, when all this craziness was happening upon this ship, there was a lot of screams of pain because these people were being impaled into the metal. And they jumped overboard of this ship. And when they did, they went through the vortexes that we were talking about and ended up in, I believe it was 30 years in the past.
Right. So it's not it's at a fledgling stage. And these stories, it's not a perfect story. It's a theory at this point. Andrew is saying that this technology has been available and was just suppressed by the government. And I believe that other people have kind of verified what Andrew was saying.
Yeah, there's all kinds of people coming forward, and they have been coming forward for some time. And they are interviewed, and they're giving their descriptions of everything that they experienced within the Project Pegasus. And then they come to find, they'll go and find out some of Andrew's research, and they're comparing notes. These people have never met, and some of these experiences are right on the money. And Andrew's father, now Andrew on his Facebook page was, I've been following this page for a few years now. Now, a couple years ago, he wrote a post about his father telling him, in the 80s, that he got a glimpse of the future using something called the Chronovisor. Now, the Chronovisor is a different type of it's time travel in a sense, but you're not going anywhere. It's almost like you're looking at a TV screen. You can choose any time in the past or any time in the future, and an actual location, hone in on that, and you can watch whatever you want going on. So what he explained to Andrew was he saw an election taking place in the year 2016. Now, when Andrew wrote this article, he said, my father said that there's going to be a guy, he couldn't remember the first name, but there's going to be a guy with the last name of Trump become president. Now, this was early 80s, so Trump wasn't really the big celebrity that he was today. So Andrew said, so you're telling me in 2016 there's going to be a president with the last name of Trump? And he said, yes. Now, like I said, he wrote this article a couple years ago before even Trump was running for president. And lo and behold, we have President Trump in office right now. So there's not much we can say to say that that didn't really take place, because where would he got this information to make this post a couple years ago to say that Trump's going to be the president, and now he is? I mean, it's just a mind-baffling scenario. And so here we have, we had Dr. Ronald Mallett saying that he's trying to create time travel. Here's Andrew Bishago saying that it's not only real, but they've been using it for years and years, and for him is as far back as the 70s. And I mean, who knows? I mean, nobody is able to actually produce any solid evidence or anything, but there are things that are said that can make you believe.
Right. As humanity moves on and our minds are opened to new things, this could transform from a theory into a reality.
Absolutely. I got just for example, I was working with this company back in 1999, early 2000, and one of the guys I was working with, he was given a quick speech about a project that he was working on, and he sidetracked and he was making a point, but whatever. And he said, I had a guy come up to me in the 1980s, and he wanted me to invest in an idea of his. Now, this guy I worked with, he owned a successful construction company, so he definitely had some money, and he was always looking for something to invest in. Now, this gentleman said to him, I believe in the future, the way to go is that I believe I can see everybody having their own portable phone, carrying it around with them, and just being able to talk and connect like you would within your house. Well, this friend of mine thought he was completely nuts. Said, are you crazy? People are going to be carrying around phones? Never going to happen. I'm not investing. Well, what does everybody have in their pocket now? Cell phones. And boy, did he miss the boat, because he said this guy is a multimillionaire now. But just look at something as simple as that vision that he couldn't see, a cell phone. And here they are, part of our everyday life. So, I mean, me and Steve aren't trying to pass on that, you know, time travel is real or not real. We just wanted to have a discussion and discuss how much fun it is to talk about this, because I'm sure we've all thought at one point, you know, what would we do if we went back in time? And I'll just share with you, if I was able to create my own type of time travel and I could go back in time, this is how I would want it to work for me. I would want to be able to get into a time machine, pick a period in time, whether the future or the past, and when I got there, I wasn't visible to anybody else, and events carried on like they were, and I was just able to walk around, view everything, and just observe. I don't want to interact. I just want to watch. I just want to see. And just have fun with it. I don't want to get into all the grandfather paradoxes and all that. I just want to have fun. Certain concerts I'd like to go to. I'd love to go see the Beatles and Led Zeppelin and just be sitting there in the audience and not having any other interaction than my eyes and ears on the stage, or who knows? I mean, the possibilities are endless. It would be really fun, I think.
You know what? I have a question. What is the butterfly effect?
The butterfly effect, that gets complex. The butterfly effect is almost like the grandfather paradox, but it isn't killing somebody and changing just one person's future. The butterfly effect is going back in time and changing one thing, and it changes the reality for everyone. And the way that it gets the butterfly effect is there was a scientist talking about, if you go back in time to the dinosaur age and you're just thinking, well, there's not much here I could mess up. You're walking along a log and you've told to be very careful. Don't disrupt nature. Don't disrupt anything. Just observe. And then this guy falls off of the log and he steps on a butterfly and kills it. Now, he doesn't think, oh, okay, well, all I did was kill a butterfly. I couldn't really have changed much. And so the theory is then he came back to present day and everything was changed.
Right. Okay.
His family was changed. Just everything.
Right. I understand it. Yeah.
So, well, Steve, do you have anything that you would share? Like if you could have create your own personal time machine, how you would like to go about using it?
Well, there's a lot of factors there. If I could go back in time and regain my youth, yes, then I would. I've had a great life. I've enjoyed myself immensely. But there are things, where I've come to the Y in the road. I made a right. I'd like to go back and make a left. There's always things that I would like to go back and explore, for sure.
Oh, so you're saying you'd like to go back and actually take the place of your younger self?
I would like to go back, relive my life, and honestly, not even I wouldn't even need the consciousness of the mind that I carry now. If I could go back, say, to being 12 years old and live my life again, I would do it.
Wow. I like that. I wouldn't want to do it because I remember I had a ton of fun as a kid and everything, but I remember it being kind of rough too. And but it is interesting, to, like you said.
Everybody's looking for that fountain of youth, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah. And I think like in my personal fountain of youth going back in time would just be to watch Christmas Morning 1985. No one knows I'm there and I'm watching myself interact with my family. I think that would be great. And I love your idea too, because who knows? Maybe that road left took you to riches and all kinds of... But, yeah, so we just wanted to have some fun with you guys tonight, trying to give you the ins and outs of the discussion of time travel. I hope we didn't lose anybody. I think I lost myself a couple times.
Right, yeah, these are just, you know, these are expressly our own opinions. We're not affiliated with anyone. And
we're not affiliated with time travel or any black projects.
Right, so we just wanted to have a conversation because it's something that Matt and I have talked about numerous times.
And I'm sure you have with your friends or family, but like we always do, we want to keep this conversation going. We're gonna put a link out on Facebook referencing this podcast, and go out there and tell us if you had your personal time machine, what would you like to do? If you could specify it to your needs, likes, wants, how you would do it, what you would do, what you would change if you could possibly change anything, and or would you go to the future to see what's going on out there?
I have to say the word flux capacitor.
Flux capacitor. I don't think there's anywhere that you can go and say flux capacitor and someone will be like, huh?
You can't have a time travel podcast and not say the word flux capacitor.
No way.
It just reminded me when you
Emmett
said
Brown.
Future. I had to say it.
Make like a leave and get out of here.
Good one.
So go out to our Facebook page, give us your thoughts and opinions, and definitely share our podcast with your friends and family, and let's just keep this conversation going and having fun with one another. And until next time, I'm Foltz.
And I'm Steve. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Take care of one another. Bye-bye.